Hello and welcome back to Hippie Dyslexic Homestead. Thank you so much for joining me. And today I want to talk to you guys about prepping. I am no way near considered to be an expert, but I did want to give you guys just my thoughts and answer a couple questions that you may or may not have when it comes to prepping. Well, I want to first say thank you so much for supporting my podcast. And if you haven't already, please be sure that you like it and you subscribe to this channel. I really do appreciate all of your support. And if you haven't also already, go to my YouTube channel, Not Bound. And up there, I upload a lot of different videos that I show just living in an RV, gardening, homesteading, dyslexic, just kind of all over the place because that's just how my brain works. So, and I really, really appreciate all of your support in all of this. All right, so let's get to prepping. Okay, if you think of a prepper, you probably have this idea in your head, right? Like some crazy person, tinfoil, the world is going to end any day, and like maybe a little not okay mentally, right? And I totally get that stereotype. And I would never consider myself a prepper by any means. So what is a prepper? A prepper is a person that prepares for something. So most of the time when we use the word prepper, we refer to a person that kind of prepares for the apocalypse, right? It's like they have a bunker room and, you know, they've got like a year's worth, 2 years worth of food, and you know, they have all these things so the government can't find them and those types of things. I would say it's a person, you know, that kind of prepares for the uncertainty. So we know that things happen, right? I mean, earthquakes, tornadoes, fires, pandemics, just floods, all types of things can happen. And when it does happen to you, if you are prepared, then you're a little bit more protected. So right now we are seeing craziness in the world. I mean, for the last couple of years, it's just been crazy around the world. Of course, we've had the pandemic, and that showed a lot of people how unprepared they were for not being able to go to the store. Depending on where you live in the world, you were either okay, you were able to go to the store and buy most of the things you needed to survive the lockdowns, or you're in a place that you were not really allowed to leave at all and you really suffered greatly. And I think that's why we're starting to see a huge like movement in the prepping and homesteading and gardening world, is because people realize like, oh man, I am not prepared for bad things happening. And we could see I think my grandparents, up until our parents, I saw maybe the last 50 or 60 years, there was such a great push on kind of making sure you have enough in store for winter or for something bad happening. You know, our grandparents prepared, you know, that's why they canned their food. That's why they did so much, saved, and just had this idea of, I don't know, planning for the future, essentially, just in case things go wrong. And throughout all of history, we've seen this. And I think the last, you know, 50, 60 years, there's been kind of a drop off because we got so used to, at least here in the United States, we got so used to being able to go to the store and just buy anything you want. And really, in the last like 20 or 30 years, you can get that 24/7. And then you think about, okay, well, the last 10 years, give or take, I can just have it delivered to me. So there's been this idea of, oh, I don't need to store up anything. And I totally get that. So I think because the way I was raised with a lot of kids. And I think I've told you guys, like, I grew up, you know, I wouldn't say we were dirt poor, but we had a lot of financial problems. And not like problems like my parents, my family gambled a lot or anything like that. It was just a different lifestyle than the way my husband was raised and a lot of my friends were raised. And I got to see different people in my family struggle in different ways. And they provided themselves with a lot of food they grew and established some of the country ways of life. So I was able to see that. And I always seen, like, my grandparents, for instance, they always had extra food. You know, my grandma, she cans, and it's amazing. And I watched her do it. I never was taught from her, you know, like, that wasn't until, I don't know, 10 plus years ago, I started getting interested in it. And, you know, she cooked with cast iron, and, you know, they grew meat rabbits and chickens. And, you know, there's just this whole, like, lifestyle that I kind of was exposed to. And even though I did not understand it then, I now understand why they kind of did that way. So, yeah, so there's just been, like, this whole change of ideas in recently. And I forgot why I was going with all of that, but now we're all trying to get to that. So, prepping. Do you need to do it for your family? I think everybody should have something prepared if things go bad. We hear all times of a bug out bag, and a lot of people are like, oh, that's for the crazy people who think that, you know, the government's coming after them or aliens coming from the sky. Well, not necessarily. So let's first go into why I think everyone should prepare or prep. So my idea of prepping is just to kind of, if things go bad, if you lose a job, if a huge bill comes up or something bad happens financially, that you're still able to feed your family. You may not be able to pay your bills, but you could feed your family. And a lot of people are like, well, if I can't pay my rent or my mortgage, I'll get kicked out. Well, it takes usually 3 to 6 months, sometimes a year, before they actually evict you, whether it's bankruptcy or, you know, getting evicted. So hopefully that doesn't actually happen, but at least you could feed your family. And that's the most important thing. I'll give you an example. Last year, my husband was on workers' comp, and he was hurt. And I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with workers' comp, especially the federal workers' comp. Oh my gosh, it's a nightmare. So basically, it is like you're supposed to get 60% of your paycheck. Well, and then who knows when you get it. I think he got hurt in February, and we didn't actually get any pay until July. So we were without his paychecks, but we are still having to pay our bills and, you know, feed our family. Luckily, I was very blessed because I always have extra food on hand. I don't sit there and go, okay, I have 3 months worth, or I have 6 months. I just like my cabinets full, like extra food, and my freezer full. And, so when that happened, we were able to basically not buy food for most of those months. And that was because we were able to eat off of the food that we had in our house and, my garden. And so that really goes into making sure you're gardening and you know how to forage. You know, I was so, so blessed because we would go foraging and find mushrooms like crazy, like chanterelles, which are just extremely delicious. We found like ringless honey mushrooms. We found all types of things. So that was a really good resource. Plus we had chickens. We had lots of eggs. Of course the garden and then the food. So we really didn't go without. And that is really important. Now you should also have 3 to 6 months, preferably like a year worth of money for if something like that happens, where you can say, okay, I have my money, I can still pay my bills. I may not be able to go out and entertain myself, but at least I have bills. Now, unfortunately, we didn't have that. So we were using our credit cards, which is really, really bad. And it really taught me, like, okay, we really need to be sure that we have money, you know, saved up so that way we can still pay our bills. We did let all of our bills, our, you know, people who we owed money to, or mortgage and things like that, let them know, hey, this is what's going on. And they will also work with you in most of the time as well, especially if you have good pay history. So be sure if you are in that situation that you contact them and they can help you. So, and then, you know, when the whole coronavirus and the whole mandates and all of those happened, where the lockup and things like that, we were also in a good position for, I think that was the beginning of 2022 or 2020, I'm sorry. That was like the spring. We were also in a really good position because we didn't have to leave, you know, for food. sure, we didn't have things that may have gone bad, like milk or bread, but we did have the things to make bread or to eat. We don't really honestly eat a lot of wheat, and we don't really drink milk. So we usually use oat milk or coconut milk. So those are pantry items. So just to kind of give you an idea, like there are so many items that you can put that if you're like, oh no, I need milk. Well, there's alternatives that can stay on the pantry. So, and there's also powdered milk if you want dairy. And then bread, you can always buy frozen bread or you can make it yourself, and, or all different alternatives to bread, like biscuits and, you know, all those types of things. So, you know, just kind of preparing yourself for something like that happening. Or I think the real reason, I'll be honest with you guys, the whole reason I started preparing and prepping was because I don't like going shopping. Like, I don't like going to the store. So it was easier for me to just say, okay, I'm going to stock my cabinets up. And then that way I could just go shopping like less. So, you know, there's that. That's, I think that's how I got into what I would guess I'd be considered a prepper, even though I wouldn't consider myself as a prepper. And you may be in that same one. You may be a prep, you know, you kind of prepare for it, but not really. But a prepper would basically say, okay, I know I need 3 months, and they would work towards that 3 months, or I have 6 months. And then there's, you know, a whole system. They really get into it, and I admire people who go into that deep. And then you would just replace those items as you use them, because you want to FIFO it out, first in, first out kind of situation. So yeah, that's kind of the prepping. Now with today's world, I definitely am like, this is crazy. Inflation is hitting. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to prices, and some people are saying, oh, inflation hasn't hit me. But I definitely have noticed it has been around. Now, I will say that it's not like night and day. You go into the store one day and it's a dollar, and the next day you go and it's like $5. It's definitely been steadily climbing up. There's a couple of things that I buy and I was like, wow, that's gone up. Oh, wow, that's gone up even more. Oh, wow, that's gone up even more. So I've watched it slowly increase. And of course, we hear about the wheat shortages and how that's going to affect us. So, yeah, that it's going to be across the board. I think some things are definitely go up higher, and some things may even get cheaper. Just really depends on everything, the world, I guess, how much it grows and all that stuff. And there's also seasonal inflation. So if you pay attention to like the commodities, you can actually go look this up. You can say, okay, well, I know that wheat or corn or whatever it is high during this season, but it dips down low during the season, because there's usually, that's when they're like, you know, harvesting it, and that's when it'll drop. And so you want to stock up then to get it the cheapest. And you know, we see diesel and gas prices go up, and that's going to affect us. That will definitely be a big thing that causes prices to go up, because if it costs me an extra $5 to ship it to you, because you know that's how much my truck is going, then you know the consumer sees that. Unfortunately, I know there's this big idea that, oh, it's just greedy business owners wanting to make more money. Well, no, not really. When you have the gas prices go up so high, that trickles down. And unfortunately, that's usually the consumer. And let's be honest, just driving places now, I mean, if I have to go somewhere, my diesel, okay, so we have two diesel trucks. And the reason we have them is because, of course, we have a homestead. And because, well, we live in an RV. So, yeah, that we have to move our home. So that's definitely stopping a lot of us going out, and definitely thinking, okay, I'm not going to go out to, usually we try to go out to dinner, you know, once a week or once every other week. That's kind of going out. Like that's a big no-no now. My kids, okay, do you really need to go to this event, or do we really need to go here or there? You know, all of that's kind of been, we're watching it. We're not saying we're stopping, because I still want to do the things we can while we can do it. But just being more aware of, okay, if we leave and we go to the city, we need to do everything all at once. Or some of my friends and I have got together and say, okay, I'm going to Costco, this day, does anybody want anything? And then we kind of take turns doing runs for each other. So that's something else you can do to kind of help each other, in your community, and, save gas as well. So I told my husband, I said, because we have to pay for non-ethanol gas for our lawnmower and, weed eater and all those things, our garden tools. I said, okay, like, no mowing, because if it's going to cost me $100 to mow, we're just not going to mow. Like, this is ridiculous. So there's going to be different things that you have to do. And so as a prepper, you would want to be kind of aware of that and kind of help yourself with that. So let's talk about prepping in the RV. So how do you prep an RV? That's a really good question because I don't know. I think it really depends on how many people that you have living in the RV and how big your RV is. So for us, we have a lot of animals, of course, and there's four people. We're basically the size of my kids are basically adults, like size of adults and how much they eat. So, and we live full time in the RV. So many people are like, oh, you live in RV prepping, you're that must be really easy and done. It's like, no, not really at all. We don't have any space to prep. So food storage is really important to be sure that you keep your food fresh. Like, you don't want to waste all of the money that you just spent on food to go bad. So there are certain ways that you need to prepare for your food. And since we live in the RV full time, we have all of our full-time stuff, all of our clothes, homeschool stuff, cooking, just basically everything that you would have, but think about it like in a 400 square foot house. That's really hard. And RVs are just not known for their storage. So I always feel like there's so much wasted space in an RV. I'm like, oh, if this wasn't here, this would be a great area to store stuff. Or they could have done this. They could have added shelves. They could have added a drawer. They could have done this and that. But I think because they have to keep it lightweight or whatever reason, just not happening. Now, some of the newer RVs I have seen definitely have more storage options. We have one that's a little bit older, and our very first RV was like a little travel trailer, and it had no storage, like, at all. Plus, we have like three dogs, multiple cats, and a ferret that live at least part-time in the RV with us. So the dogs and the cats go back and forth, in and out, in and out. The snake and the gecko, of course, stay inside the RV, and the ferret stays inside the RV. So you also have to think about your pets when you prepare. Like, do you have food on hand for your pets? What happens if, all of the food gets recalled or something happens? What are you going to feed them? So those are all like questions you have to think about. Obviously, there's a ranking system, I would say. Sounds horrible. But if everything looks completely crazy in the world and we couldn't leave our little home, the reptiles are getting set free. The cats can go find their own food. The dogs we will figure that out, I guess. We have eggs, but they're not eating my chickens. They will have to, like, they need to go figure it out themselves. And the ferret, he would probably just have to live on eggs. Like, so those are just like things that you would have to think of, and living in an RV, if it's just if it was just my husband and I and maybe just like one or two pets, totally doable, because underneath the RV there's some storage underneath that you could put food in there. I don't know if you would be able to get like 3 months worth, but you could definitely have a lot of room there. Of course, in RVs, refrigerator and freezer space is limited, so those are some other things you have to think about. There is storage. There's a good amount of storage because we do have a fifth wheel. But again, since we homeschool, we have all these other things that we have in our RV. If it was just two people, totally doable. So it just really depends on, what you're doing or how you're doing it. You have to think about water. It's best to have, like, I guess, like big gallons of 5 gallon jugs of water everywhere, but yeah, we can't do that. So it's just all these different things when it comes to like real hardcore prepping that we just don't do. If things get really bad, how they're saying, I'm just going to have to pray that I have enough foraging skills and gardening skills to keep us somewhat alive. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. So I know a lot of people are like, the world is, going to collapse, and it may. It could be this year, could be next year, could be 100 years from now. I don't know. But the idea of preparing is just, okay, if something happens, whether it be a fire, whether it is a tornado, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, hopefully you have enough prepared somewhere. I would say our house fire definitely, like, it was hard for us because all of the food that I prepared, I gardened, all of that was lost in the fire. All of my prepping stuff was gone. So, that's really hard because if you do have a fire, I mean, so as a prepper, you don't want to keep all of your food in one place. And so I didn't. Mine was in the house, some in the house and some in our garage. But, those are just things that you want to think about, you know, having different areas available if at all possible. And the other things you want to think about is maybe like long-term storage, like an MRE type of thing that would last like 25 years. And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of those. They're pretty much junky most of the time. So, but I will link to one that I've looked into a few times. It's called Nutrient. I don't know really what it's called. Nutrient MRE or Nutrient food. I don't know. I'll link it below. I've looked at it. It is probably the most nutritious one out there. It is more expensive, but it definitely has more nutrition. I personally have not tried it. I've heard a lot of really good reviews about them. I've read a lot of great things about them. But that's just something that you'd have to decide if you're on the lookout for a long-term storage. You know, you want to really think about nutrition and vitamins and things like that. I mean, of course, you don't want to just eat, you know, tack, right? Like, what? Look back at our ancestors. Why was scurvy so bad? Well, they didn't get a vitamin C. So, you know, then there's diet. Of course, vitamin D deficiencies and vitamin B deficiency. There's a lot of, if you have vitamin or mineral deficiencies, that can definitely cause harm and sicknesses, and you don't want that to happen either. So those are just some things, and medications you have to think about. Like, my biggest thing is, like, I tell people, several years ago, I was on thyroid medicine, and my thyroid medicine got recalled and then was out, and I didn't have thyroid medicine, and that kind of opened my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to figure out how to heal my body. And that's what I did. And I basically pretty much off all thyroid medicines, and I do manage it with diet, exercise, and mineral supplements and food. So those are just the things you have to think about. If you can't get your medication, because I got on a new medication and then that one was recalled. I can't remember what it was going on. I think that was like their sister company, and I don't really remember. This was several years ago, but that helped me go, oh my goodness, what happens if everything's recalled? Like, what do I do? So those are things that you would need to think about. Okay, so let's talk about this idea of a bug out bag. So again, most people think of it as, oh my gosh, the aliens are coming or the government's coming. Let's grab your bag and go for the woods and survive off the land. Yes and no. So again, a bug out bag is meant as part of your prep if something goes bad. So this is something we did not have. This would have been really good after our fire, and we should have had a bag that we could have grabbed and threw into the car, and it would have had things like our clothes, extra medications, you know, just things that you need to survive. Maybe some snacks, a couple of things of water. You know, of course, you could get deeper and say, okay, if I was going to live off the land, if something bad was going to happen and I couldn't get in my car and take off, I would have things, you know, to, like, toilet paper, you know, or the survival tool. I can never remember what it's called, but basically you can do all kinds of things. It's like a multifaceted tool, like dig a hole or a trench, and you'd be able to, like, hack trees down, and you'd have stuff to start a fire, you know, all of that type of things, like camping, essentially. You'd have extra things like that. But for us, a bug out bag would have been really good for us because we could have put our money in there, like extra money, like instead of having cash laying around the house. We could have had extra clothes. We could have had just different medications and like natural things, some extra food to have on hand. Just all of that in a bag where we could have grabbed it and we could have been okay instead of relying on other people or relying on, you know, trying to get help from other places. And sometimes you don't have that help from other places. You know, we can look at people in other countries like Puerto Rico. You know, they've suffered a lot. And if they have either some prep or, you know, bug out bag, they would be able to utilize that in that time of need. So this prepping isn't necessarily just for, you know, the aliens coming down, but it's for other reasons. And I think that's what we need to focus on instead of like these crazy ideas of, oh my gosh, you know, the world is going to collapse or the apocalypse is going to happen. If those happen, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to stop or prevent that. And this is something that, like, I kind of disagree with. A lot of people are like, oh, we don't need to prep. Like, my husband doesn't always see or understand my way. Like, he's not against it. So he's not like, no, you cannot prepare. You cannot have extra food. You know, that's not him at all. But he doesn't see, like, he's like, and maybe it's because of his jobs, you know, Marine, firefighter. Maybe he just is kind of over it. He doesn't want to talk about it, you know, and these are things that, like, I want to talk to him about it. So for instance, this is a while back ago, and I said, hey, I want to start preparing for when things go bad. And he's like, what? And he was kind of giving me attitude, like rolling his eyes, like what? You know, I was like, I don't know, for anything. You know, we're on top of a mountain. What if this happens and we can't get off the roads? Well, we'll be able to get off, you know? And so he had an answer for every single thing I brought up. And I was like, okay, what if aliens come? You know, like, since you're not letting me think about all these other things, like tornadoes, if, you know, all these other things, and you just want to, like, kind of brush it off like it's nothing, you know, what about, let's just go to the crazy, like, what if aliens were to come, you know? And he's like, well, then we're screwed, you know? Like, so he's like, I just deal with this all the time at work, and I teach people this all the time, and I'm just kind of over it. And I'm like, well, that's why you should be teaching your family to do it and to prepare for your family. And so I think when we do have husbands, or if we ourselves are in that workplace where we're teaching and we're just kind of over it, they're like, oh, I'm just done with it, I don't care. Or it could be the other way. Some people just go to the extreme and go, yes, we have to have all of these things because I've seen it all and things are going to go crazy. So, you know, there's just so many, like, multifacets of preparing and prepping and trying to plan and everything. And so I do watch, like, prepper videos, like, on YouTube, and I do, like, listen to prepper show podcasts. And, you know, one of the things that they bring up, which is a really, really good idea, is that you need to make a list, basically, of the things that are more likely to happen to you and your family and the least amount, like, from the greatest to the least. So for instance, like, if you live near, like, the ocean, right? If you live in Florida, South Carolina, those types of places, you know, the most likely thing that was going to most likely happen to you would be something like a hurricane, flooding. And then you would just go down the list, and, like, the very least thing that would happen to you would be, like, alien invasion, right? So then you prepare for, like, those top five. Okay, so I need to prepare for this, and this, and this. And I will be honest, most people never had pandemic on that list, but you should probably put that on there now. Like, we should probably be planning for another pandemic. Not saying it's going to happen, just saying that, you know, now we know it could be very, very real and could really, really affect our lives. So that just is just some information about prepping. As far as doing it in the RV, it's definitely a little bit harder, I would say. I guess the only good thing about living in the RV is if things do get bad, we could just pick up and move our house. However, I don't really necessarily know if that's really plausible either. We are stationary, so we just stay. Now, if I was on the road, if we were traveling a lot, that would be really good to have. Like, we would just pick, okay, this area, you know, it's hurricane season, let's pick up and let's go. Oh, it's tornado season, let's pick up, let's go. It's, you know, whatever it is, and you could just pick up and go, which is really, really good. And that might be something later down the line that we will do as we hopefully will travel when my husband gets, when my husband retires. Of course, I do hope to have a house by then, guys. I really do hope to have, like, something built and a place to, you know, like, a real house that's not movable, you know, by the time he, you know, retires. But, you know, we'll see what happens with this world and this crazy economy that we live in. All right, guys, I am going to say goodbye, and I hope that you go down, subscribe to my channel, and be sure to check out my videos on YouTube. And thank you so much for supporting me. And I would love to know if you're a prepper and how you became a prepper, like what started it. Be sure to go to Spotify and put your comments down. And again, thank you so much. Have a great day, guys. Bye.